Hello. Good morning. How is everybody feeling today? Good? I'm not hearing it. How is everybody feeling today? That's a bit better. Okay, it's going to get better as we go on. It's such a delight to be here, but even more so to see each and every one of you here this morning for what I know you know is going to be an awesome, remarkable, outstanding event. And I'll tell you why. It's not only because of the amazing panel we have here today, but it's because you are here. So let's give ourselves a big round of applause for that, first of all. My name is Cherin Oba. I am the Youth Engagement Officer at Awolded School, and I'm also the chair of the Youth Advocacy Group. My Twitter handle is at CEE_BAH. I learned that it's very important to put that out early so people can tweet at you. See? We're going to get this event started, but before we get the VIPs in here and the question and answer, we wanted to have a conversation with all of us in the room, right? We have amazing young people here from, I think, pretty much all over the world and from schools and universities around the U.S. So the first thing I want us to do quickly is everybody to turn around to somebody who's next to you that you don't know and introduce yourself.
I don't know you, sir.
I'm Malala's relative, Dr. Khan from Pakistan.
Good to meet you, sir. My name is Cherin Oba. It's an honor. Thanks for coming.
How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you. Good to meet you, sir. Yes. Good to meet you, sir. Good to meet you. Hi. Thank you.
Hello. Hello, hello. All right. That was a quick introduction. Thank you very much for that. You know, it makes you feel better. You know who's next to you. You can have a chat. You can have a conversation. I hope you also did mention your Twitter handle. It's important. I'm just saying. For those of you who don't know, everybody who's in this room should already know this by now. But in case you don't know and you are on social media, here are your hashtags. Let's get this out of the way as well. MDG Momentum. That's the first hashtag. You can also use show your selfie. I didn't come up with that, believe me. It's great, though. You can also use SG Malala Chat, okay? So tweet at us. And also remember to follow the UN on Instagram if you're there, on Facebook as well, Facebook/United Nations. Or on Twitter, twitter.com/UN. So let's all make sure we get going on social media. I want us to get this room a little bit up, okay? So we're going to start up a little bit of a chant, okay? As you all know, we're here today because in 500 days, the Millennium Development Goals will expire. In 2000, world leaders came to this hall, to this United Nations, and they made a promise. They said by 2015, they will do 8 major things. Reduce poverty, get every kid into school, deal with the environment, deal with the diseases that are affecting the world. It was a promise to you and to me. On this day, only 500 days to the countdown, there's been remarkable progress. We're still a long way to go. And we have said, as an advocate, we've argued that we cannot reasonably focus on 2015 in a credible way without doing all we can between now and the end of 2015. We cannot focus on post-2015 without doing all we can between now and the end of 2015 to deliver on the promise that was made in the first place. And that promise includes to get, for example, all of the 58 million kids who are out of school today into school. And it can be done. So we're here today to call on the United Nations to do more, to say that more can be done and it's time for action. So here is our chance, okay? When I say MDGs, you say momentum. You got it? Okay? Come on, we're young people. Let's get this. I love doing this because it's not often you come to the UN where you have the room is filled with such amazing, energetic young people, right? So let's bring that energy into this room. You got it? MDGs? I don't know. Nobody had that. MDGs? 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 We're going to do one more, okay? When I say counts down, you say time for action, okay? Counts down? Counts down? Awesome. Let's give ourselves a round of applause. That's awesome. All right. I said we're going to have a conversation. So I just want to know who in this room flew from overseas to come to this event. Did you come from another country today just to be here today? Put up your hands. Let's see you. Let's give them a big round of applause, guys. Come on. Woo! Welcome to New York. Welcome to the U.S. And it's wonderful to have all of you guys here. How many of us are from out of state, not in New York? You came from out of... Whoa! Okay, let's give them a big round of applause. Come on. And if you're from the Big Apple, guys, come on! Woo! Nice. So welcome, all of you. I'm going to go around the room right now and ask you, everybody first, a very quick question. How many of us, by the way, were here on Malala Day? Were you here on Malala Day? Oh, let's give them a big round of applause. Nice. It feels like a big reunion today, right? I walked in here today and I thought, wow, it feels like Malala Day part two, right? It's another day. There's the same energy, the momentum, that hope. You all remember what it meant when we came here on that day. We didn't even know what she was going to say. And when she walked out on that podium and the room was so quiet and you could hear a pin drop because it was the first time we were hearing her speak, you know, since she had been shot. It's first time in public. And we're here in the world, you know, the journalists, bless them, they were all here. And she walked on that stage and she delivered that speech and the world paid attention. And we got education on the front page of every news magazine and program in the world. And she, with her speech, shook the conscience of the world. And see what has happened. It tells that when young people like you and I stand up and demand something, we have a power. And that's what today's about. Let's give ourselves one more round of applause for that. So I'm going to ask first our friends here who are from Afghanistan. They flew in to be here with us today. What does Malala mean to you? I want you to stand up and take my microphone.
When I hear about Malala and I heard how she stood against Taliban to go to school, I feel like this world is going to change. And we are all here to support those people who are and the other side of the world and are struggling to get an education. Malala means hope for me. Thank you.
Malala means hope. Cannot say that better. Who else wants to share with us what Malala means to them? Just show me your hand if you want to say something. I'll come over to you. You were here on Malala Day, right?
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Hi, my name is Layla Bushkuk, and I am from UNASPIRE South in East Stroudsburg. And I think that Malala gives youth the drive to impact the world. I think we all have the drive within us. And I think that when we were there at Malala Day, I think it brought it all out for us. And that I said this before to a couple people, but I think we were all like stars, and we shine like a huge constellation. The world could not ignore us that day because it brought out the drive in all of us. So I think that's what she reminds me of.
We're all stars, and the world cannot ignore us. I believe in that every day, and that's why we do what we do, trying to remind everybody that you have the power. You just have to raise your voice and do something about it. Your hand was up.
I'm Rebecca, and I'm a high schooler from New Jersey, and I think that Malala represents change, and she really exemplifies that no matter where you come from or how old you are or what your gender is, that you can really make a difference in the world.
You can make a difference in the world. Now, let me just test this audience and see how attentive you are. MDGs? Not bad, but you can do better, guys. MDGs? MDGs? Countdown? Countdown? Awesome. These guys got it. All right, let's do that again. Come on, guys. Come on. We can do better. Come on. Put this up. Countdown? Awesome. I'm going to come over on the other side of the room, and I have another question for all of you guys. And it's 500 days to the end of the MDGs. The question is, what do you think needs to be done? What's the top priority in these 500 days, okay? What do we want world leaders to do in these 500 days? What should be the most urgent action to deliver on the MDGs? You want to say something, sir?
Saeed, right? Yeah. Thank you very much. This is Sayed Mahmoud Kazmi. First of all, I would say that the most important issue is poverty. There are more than 1 billion people living less than a dollar a day. Think about them, and UN should do something to call, do anything to address the poverty. And, you know, hunger is something that makes us forget all the ethics of civilization. And the most important thing, if you call for MDG momentum, don't forget to include the people who are in the violence. Think about Kashmir, think about Palestine, think about Gaza or anywhere. They are with us. They do not exclude from MDG or whatever. Please think about them. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Saeed. And we cannot forget about all the peoples of the world, especially the poorest, the most marginalized, the most vulnerable people around the world. Let's give Saeed one more round of applause for that. I love that. I'm going to come to the back of the room.
My name is Joanna Meyer. I'm a student at Fordham University, and I like to see the end of female genital mutilation, and I ask for your help in making that possible.
We want to see the end of female genital mutilation. Some of us, you know, I come from Sierra Leone, where about 80% of young girls are caught. And so it's a very important issue, and we know what that means. So thank you for raising that up. So the question again is, in 500 days, world leaders need to act. They have to act. They got to get things going on, and it's got to be urgent. What's the urgent thing that has to be on top of the agenda right now? I'll come on that side. See? Let's try to mix this up a little bit.
Hi. Okay, so hi, everybody. Sorry, I have a loud voice. My name is Mae Vutrapongwatana. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm representing NYU, New York University. I'm here today to talk to you about the importance of women empowerment. It's important that we have all women, no matter what gender, race, sexual orientation, to be a part of the world. Like Gandhi says, be the change you wish to seek in the world. We can't have that if 50% of our population is being marginalized. It's important that we are all healthy, we get all our rights, and that we get all the education that we need to strive and succeed in the world together as people. Thank you very much, and I hope everyone has a great day.
You know, passion like that gives me hope, right? It shows that we all here, we know what can be done, and we're all moved by it. Somebody asked me the other day on a hangout, if you want to be an advocate, what's the first step? You know, how do you make that choice? And I was like, when we were all kids, or when you think about the world and before we got influenced and we begin to think in our boxes, in your belly, you know when something is right, you know? We're like, that's just not fair, right? When you see discrimination, you know that something is just not right. And we know that discrimination against women and girls is just not right, right? That's why Malala stood up and said, I just want to go to school. It's just not right that boys can go to school and I don't get a chance to go to school. So thank you so much for that. We want to move on a little bit. We're getting to 11, and the VIP guests are going to walk in soon. So I also wanted to ask one question, and it's around girls' education. I want to ask the boys in the room. How many boys in this room consider yourselves gender activists or girl champion like I consider myself? Let's give them a round of applause. Now, for the boys who did not put up your hand, I did see you. We need to have a conversation after this. But I'm going to ask one of the guys who put up their hand to talk about what it means to you as a boy to stand up for girls' rights. Come back to you, sir. And remember to tell us your name and where you're from, and then keep it short.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Joel Davis, and I'm from Youth to End Sexual Violence, and I was at the Global Summit to End Sexual Violence and Conflict, and I'm here as both a young man and as a youth to carry the youth voice on from the Global Summit, to bring it into every single conversation with governments and civil society, to show that youth have a presence to end sexual violence, to end discrimination against men and women who are victims of rape and sexual violence and conflict, and to show that men need to be involved in women's empowerment and to end inequality.
You know, men should be at the heart of the fight for gender equality. You know, on my bio, I call myself very proudly a girl champion. And people ask me, why are you a girl champion? And I say that I believe in inequality. I believe in justice. And the discrimination against girls around the world is so rife that you cannot reasonably call yourself, you cannot say you're fighting to end poverty and inequality if you don't fight to end gender inequality. All right, let's put our hands together now and give a big welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the SG. Come on. Mr. Ban Ki-moon and Malala Yousafzai. Woo! Mr. Ba? MDGs, counts down, counts down. Okay, I want them to feel a little bit more that we have had a lot of energy in this room, okay? So that we can transfer that energy as well, okay? You ready? Everybody's ready? MDGs, MDGs. Counts down. Thank you so much, everybody. And I have the privilege now to not only welcome our distinguished guests, but to now hand over, as we get to the interactive part of our session today, to His Excellency, the President of the General Assembly of the United Nations, Ambassador Ash. Ambassador Ash, please. Let's welcome him, please, with a big round of applause.
Good morning. Let me say that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. On my way here to this room, I sense a certain excitement, and I thought, man, I'm coming to the end of my term. You people just love me. Then my wife pinched me, which she always does, and simply said, "You wish." She did that because she's far more smarter than I am. Thank you very much for being here. This is about you, and it's about an interaction with two people who come from very different end of the spectrum. On the one hand, we have a much beloved Secretary General who can pick up the phone and heads of state say, "How can I help?" That is going to be important going forward for the next 500 days. And then we have with us, and this is the real reason why there's excitement, we have someone who serves as an inspiration to us all, because she has, in the quest for her own dream, overcome personal adversity. And in many ways, that mirrors the intent of our heads of state 15 years ago when they adopted the Millennium Development Goals. They could not have foreseen the financial and economic crises of 2008. They could not have foreseen back then all the stumbling blocks that have prevented us from realizing these goals. It is true that we are well on our way, but there's much to be done. This is why today's interaction is so important, and this is why we want you to use this opportunity to interact with our two superstars. 500 days. It sounds like a lot, but in actuality, it is not. We need a momentum. We need your momentum. This is, and it should always have been, about you. You heard from the moderator this morning as he tried to pump you up, so to speak. And we heard from some of the questionnaires and some of the responses about what should be the focus for the next 500 days. Central to all this is overcoming poverty. That has to be central to what we do. Inclusion, bringing people in. And that is particularly true for two of the key sectors of our society, women and children, going forward. Again, this is about you. Please interact. We have with us two voices who can really make a difference. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mr. President of the General Assembly. And thanks also to Turner Baugh for warming up the crowd. I'm Amy Robach with ABC News, and I'll be moderating today's discussion. And it's fantastic, I should say, to see so many young people out here, young people who care, young people who will hopefully make a difference in the world in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. So thank you for all of you being here. We also want to thank all of us who are joining us on our live web stream. And we are really encouraging social media. You saw this paper, everyone had one. And we have our hashtags, MDG Momentum, hashtag Show Your Selfie, and hashtag SG Malala Chat. And so throughout this discussion, feel free to social media away, whatever that verb is. we encourage it. And in fact, we want to get it started, the social media trending to start right now, because I think we're going to do a selfie right here. Are you guys up for that, Secretary General and Malala? All right. So we're going to start the Show Me Your Selfie trend. Get mine ready to go. All right, here we go. This might be the first ever. One, two, three. All right. I'm going to hand it off to Caitlin, who's going to tweet that away. Everyone else, did you guys take your selfies? All right, so I think it might be a good time now to turn to the Secretary General for a few words of wisdom.
Thank you, Amy. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the United Nations. It's a great pleasure to see you. I'm very happy to be with our inspiring young leader, Malala Yousafzai. She is a daughter of the United Nations, so welcome to the United Nations. Welcome. While we are very happy to be with Malala today, we have many good reasons, at least two good reasons, why we should commemorate and celebrate this day, today. First, we are here with Malala, who has been an inspiring leader to promote Millennium Development Goals. Second, we have 500 days to go before we meet the target of Millennium Development Goals. And then I know that we have 500 young people here. So where can we have a better opportunity to celebrate and commemorate this day than with 500 young leaders of tomorrow? And thank you very much for your commitment and your support for education and Millennium Development Goals. As you know, 1,000 day milestone, I was in Spain. At that time, I was thinking how I should observe and commemorate and remind this 1,000 day milestone before the end of MDG. I went to a stadium, football stadium, where Levante and Real Madrid team were competing. I had my ceremonial kick. I kicked with the hope that we are kicking out poverty from this land, from our world. At that time, I thought, to whom should I speak to? Then I thought that Malala would be the best person to send out this message of education and MDG. I telephoned her, and we Skyped, in fact. She was still recovering from her wound. She said, Secretary General, I was shot, but I can talk, I can walk, I can do anything for the benefit of whole world, particularly for young girls and women. She said that a pen can change the whole world. Indeed, she has been leading by example, and her one pen has been changing whole landscape of our commitment for Millennium Development Goals, and in particular, education. That I really appreciate her strong commitment, and I really appreciate your strong support. Her parents, her teachers, and her friends, having been inspired by her, I had my own line that what the Taliban and terrorists fear most, that's a girl with a textbook. So I immediately sent out tweeted. Then it got millions of support. A text, a girl with a text. Because when girls are educated, when girls are enlightened, then there is nothing we cannot do. And this is what terrorists and Taliban are really trying to see. They are very much afraid of that. When they see some rooms where people are not educated, it can provide a breeding ground for extremism and terrorism. Therefore, we have to promote this education. While she was almost on the verge of death because of Taliban's attack, but she's still keeping that faith, that belief that education can make this a lot of difference. As you know, I was grown up in a country, war-devastated Korea. At that time, everything was in rubble. Everything was devastated. We didn't have classrooms. We were studying under a shade of trees at that time. But we were very thirsty. We were very hungry for education. We were very hungry for learning. That's why I'm here. So I'm telling all the people who are still not being able to properly educate that do not despair. Do not lose your hope. If you are committed, if you are really determined to study, then you can change this whole world. That's what the United Nations is doing. In that regard, I have a full support for Malala and for young people. It is often said that the young people are the leaders of tomorrow. But you have already taken a lot of important decisions, lot of actions today. You have already put yourself into this world. So make difference. Let us work together to make this world better for all the people, regardless of where you are coming from, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are men or women, girls or boys. We are all same human being. That is what United Nations very much determined. We still have 50 million people, school-aged people, young students who are not able to be educated. We have bring them back all to the school. That's our vision. Now we are approaching 500 days deadline. When we meet this deadline, there will be still some areas we have to do. Education is one of them. But in coming future development agenda, what we call sustainable development goals, aiming 2030, another 15 years, we'll provide quality education, we'll provide secondary education, beyond the primary education. That's our vision. That's my vision. And I hope you will all raise your voice today and tomorrow and make this world better for all. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary General. I must say I like you without a tie. I think it looks very, very becoming on him, doesn't it? We're going to talk to Malala now. Malala, we just heard the Secretary General reference the fact that you were here just about a year ago, giving that speech that none of us will ever forget when you were just 16 years old. And here you are, back in the very room that you were in. And you have seen the world. You and I were both just in Nigeria together. You have traveled from country to country talking about the ability, but in many cases, unfortunately, the inability of women, young girls, to have access to education. Talk a little bit about what you've seen and what you've heard from all of those countries and the girls who so badly want to be in classrooms.
Well, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be here and speak in front of 500 young people. It's a great opportunity for me. And thank you so much to Secretary General for this honor. And I'm really happy that once again we are here talking about education and what we can do. So 500 days are left, but that does not mean that after 500 days we won't do anything. But now we have sustainable development goals. So that's a great thing that we will continue the campaign for education and we will speak for it. Last year I was here, I gave a speech and I shared my story and the story of thousands of girls who suffer from terrorism in Swat Valley and how the girls fought against those that terrorism and how they fought for their education. But this year, I'm here to share my story with you, what I have done this year. And it was my dream to see every child going to school, and it is still my dream. For that reason, I was thinking that what is the best way through which I can do it. The first goal is to do it through advocacy, to reach the responsible people, to tell them that their responsibility is to listen to their people, and now the people are asking them that focus on education, make sure that every child is going to school. So I do advocacy, and then we also do work on the ground, and that's why we have set up the Malala Fund through which we are working in countries like Jordan for the Syrian refugees. And when I went to Jordan, I met so many amazing children, but those children were deprived of education. In Zaatari camp, there are 100,000 people, and among those 60,000 are children. And for those 60,000 children, there are only 3 schools. And I met Mozoon. She wants to become a journalist. She has so many big, big dreams. And she's encouraging every child in her camp, going to their tents and telling them that send their daughters to school, send their sons to school. So I'm really hopeful that every place where I go to, there are so many incredible children, girls and boys, who are speaking up for their rights. When I went to Kenya, I met amazing girls who love their books, who love their pens, and who love going to school. I haven't seen such love ever before, and I saw how education has brought change in their community in Maasai Mara. First, they used to think that the person who killed more than one lion would become a Maasai warrior, but now they have changed that idea. The person, the girl or the boy who gets a high degree in education, who completes his education, would become a Maasai warrior. So they changed their whole concept of bravery. Now, braver is the person who gets quality education. So I have seen sadness as well, because when I went to Nigeria, I saw so many girls I saw the parents of those girls especially who were abducted by Boko Haram. And those girls are still under abduction, and there are more than 200 girls. And I also met the escapees. And when I met the parents, they were crying, and all they wanted was to see their daughters back. They said, bring back our girls. And the girls, I asked the girls that, are they going to school now? Is anyone taking care of their health? Is anyone, like, helping them to come out of the trauma? And their answer was no. So it was really sad to see that even though people are highlighting it on Twitter, but no one is really helping these girls. So when I went and met the president, Goodluck Jonathan, I highlighted these two issues, and then he made two promises to me. Number one was that he would definitely meet these girls, which he did the next week, and their parents. And the second was that he would make sure that the government tries its best to meet, to make sure that the girls are released as soon as possible. So, but still, I was not sure whether the girls would be helped or not. That's why we started projects there as well. So we have been doing these projects in Nigeria, in Jordan for the Syrian refugees. We started our first project in Pakistan, which is my homeland and where I was born. So we started our project in Swat Valley for those girls who are suffering from domestic child labor. And when I was in Pakistan, before I was attacked, I was doing the campaign for education, and that's why I was appreciated and supported by the government and people, and they encouraged me, and I was awarded. And when I received the National Youth Peace Prize in Pakistan, I was returning back home. And on my way, we stopped our car, and we said, let's buy some oranges, and there was this beautiful view. I could see mountains and valleys and those things. But then I saw a girl as well who was sitting there, and she had a nail in her hand and a paper of advertisement, and she was just trying to write something with it and just pretending that she's in a classroom and she's learning. And when I went nearer to her and I asked her, is she going to school? And her answer was no. In fact, she was selling oranges with her father. And I wanted to see that girl going to school, not selling oranges, but rather going to school and learning biology and learning where the oranges come from and knowing what skills does she have and knowing what talent does she have. Because if she does not get education, I could clearly see her future would be getting married at the age of 13, 14, then having children, then becoming a mother and then a grandmother, and that's all her life. She would never realize that, yes, she is also a human being, and she has an identity as well, and she should be accepted in society, and she should be treated with equal rights. She would not know it if she does not go to school. And she thought, like, as a woman, that's how she should be treated. And getting married and these things were quite common for her. But I wanted to see her to get education, and that's why I promised myself that I would help all the children to go to school. And it was my dream to see those children who are suffering from domestic child labor going to school, because in the morning when I would go to school, I would see little children going to rich people's houses to clean their houses, to clean their dishes, and to clean their clothes. I wanted to see them with books and pens and wearing uniform, holding a school bag and learning. I did not want to see them working on the streets and working in other people's houses. That's why that's why we have now started a project in Pakistan, in Swat Valley, and we are educating girls. We're giving scholarship to those girls who are suffering from domestic child labor. So I'm really happy, even though the number of students who are now going to school through the work of the Malala Fund is not a big number, because, as you said, there are like 57 to 58 million children who are out of school. It's a big goal, and for that reason, we have to work for it together. And when I went to Trinidad and Tobago, it was my recent visit, I really got hope, because I went there and their education is free. Primary education is free, secondary education is free, tertiary education is free. And even if you want to do masters, half of the money is paid by the government to that extent. And I was totally surprised, like, this is a country, Trinidad and Tobago. It is a rich country, not very much rich, but it has oil and it has gas. And it is using that money, not doing corruption or any other thing, but on education. And this is how it is developing. It is developing its country. This is how it is progressing. On the other hand, there is Nigeria. Nigeria also has oil and gas. It's a very rich country in that terms. But in Nigeria, there are 10.5 million children who are out of school only at the primary level. And then in secondary level, it's worst. So I have this journey in 1 year. I know it seems like I have seen many, many places. But I also go to school, and I have to do a lot of homeworks. And I have brought my homework with me so I can find time and do it in between. So, and I have exams as well. But I also want to see every child going to school. And I know it seems quite difficult, but by working together, we can soon achieve this goal. And through my experience, I have learned that children really want to go to school. Whenever I see a child, that child does not want anything else but just a pen, just a book, and wants to learn.
She's just 17. So inspirational and still just so young, and I know you have so much more to give to the world. I want to ask Secretary General, though, there have been so many recent crises around the world. When you look at what's happening in Gaza, Iraq, Syria, Ukraine, Africa, I mean, the list goes on, unfortunately, and even recently in Nigeria with Ebola and Liberia. How do these crises impact the Millennium Development Goals?
It's true that we are seeing so many fires burning here and there. In Africa, in Iraq. In Iraq and Ukraine, then South Sudan, Central African Republic, and elsewhere. There are a lot of fires are burning. We really need to extinguish this fire. That's what the United Nations is mobilizing all resources, but with the help of all member states now. At the same time, there is a flame of hope. It's not only fires. We have a flame of hope. That's MDG. We see many dedicated and committed young leaders like Malala and like all yourselves. You are our hope. United Nations really is trying to help you move ahead, drive these changes, changing our world. One may think that, well, I'm just a young girl or young boy. I don't have any power. But each and every one of you can make difference. You have a prerogative and legitimate right to raise your voice to your teachers, to your parents, to your senators and congressmen and president and prime minister, ministers. So if they do not listen to you, then to whom they should listen? You are the real, real voices. And it is only natural that to bring this sense of hope to young people, we must work for and must work with the young people and young girls and women. That's one of my top priorities out of five. And that is why, for the first time in the UN history, I have appointed a United Nations Secretary General's envoy on youth. His name is Ahmad Al-Hendawi. He's now sitting here with us. Why don't you stand up? He's trying to reach out to all young people and youth group and try to liaise among the groups and with the United Nations and with the governments. Yesterday I came back from China, and there on Saturday I met many hundreds of youth group in China, and they are also very much hopeful and dedicated and committed. But it's not only here in the United States and in China or elsewhere. All throughout the world. Then, how these crises impact us? Of course, it destroys whole our society. If a war happens, can you go to school? School is closed. Hospitals are closed. And there is electricity is cut off. And the railway system, transportations, they are all impacted. They're affected. This is what we have seen in Gaza recently. And this is what we are seeing in Central Africa, South Sudan, and Iraq. These people, particularly young people, they suddenly have no place to go, nothing to work, no homeworks, no study. that we have to prevent this one. Then we have to address all this crisis. That is why United Nations is taking a very comprehensive view. Peace cannot be sustainable without development. Development includes study and education. Then development cannot be promoted without peace and stability. That's why peace and development must go hand in hand. That is why last year I traveled with the World Bank president together to Democratic Republic of Congo and Sudan and elsewhere. I'm also going to visit Somalia and some other places with the World Bank president just to make sure that development and peace and security go hand in hand. I have a huge responsibility to promote and establish peace and security all around the world. At the same time, I have a huge duty to promote development. But this must be done in close coordination, strong with the strong support of all the people around the world, and particularly yourselves. I thank you.
And we want to hear from all of you in just a bit. And as I lead into this next segue, because I see that we are getting started with the microphone, I want to mention, Malala, something you told me when we last spoke. You said the Taliban tried to silence one girl, and instead they heard the voices of hundreds of thousands. And that speaks to the impact that all of your voices have on terrorists and on those who are intent on breaking the world. And voices like Malala are heard through yours as well. And I feel like that's a good segue to Turner, who has questions from our youth out in the audience.
Awesome. So tell us your name, where you're from, and then your question.
Good morning, all. My name is Joel Amegbo. I'm from Togo. Question directed to Malala. Malala, what is the first step we need to take to improve education in developing countries? Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's very important that we not only talk about like the developed countries when we say that education is important and we ask the donors, like the developed countries, to help, but it's also important that the developing countries focus on education and make it their top priority, because as it's part of the GDP as well, Global Partnership for Education. And in that one, they are not only ask the developed countries to donate, but as well as they ask the developing countries to focus on education and make it their top priority. So I think it's very important that in the developing countries, education is regarded as a top priority and they focus on it, because in Pakistan, in Nigeria, Afghanistan, and India, there are so many problems that children are facing, because when a child is not educated, that child then faces some other problems in society. Most of those children are suffering from child labor, from child trafficking. They suffer through poverty. They never realize what talents they have, what skills they have. They sometimes, well, most of the time, they remain jobless, and then they have to find other ways to for their earning, which sometimes are not appreciated and are not we may call it like illegal. And sometimes they can be easily turned to the other side and can become extremists or terrorists. So I think education is very important, and this is what we need in the developing countries. If they want to succeed, if they want to become like the so-called developed countries, then they need to invest in education. They do not need any kind of weapons or military. They do not need money in any other field. I think if these countries start focusing on education, on building schools, on providing quality education, not just sending children to schools and to empty buildings, but to provide them quality education, good, well-qualified teachers, and as well as all the facilities that children would need, like laboratories, like libraries, like computer labs, all these things are very important for children. When I was in school, I never saw the education system, which is in the UK, where I'm going now, to a school. Here in the UK, they have a library, a science lab, a computer lab is in every school. They have nice teachers, they help you, but they also make you independent, how to learn by yourself. So I think these are the important things that should be in schools in the developing countries. So I would ask the government of all the developing countries to make education their top priority and focus on it, because this is how they're going to succeed, and this is how they're going to become developed countries, and this is how they're going to progress.
The power of the pen mightier than the sword. Exactly. We have our next question from Twitter. This comes from Nina, and this is for you, Secretary General, at N. Papacristo in Bangui in Central African Republic, which you were just referencing. She asks, given the impact climate change is already having, what can the UN do to ensure we can achieve the MDGs and create a better future for us all?
That's a very important question. That's very important for you, young generation. Because we are suffering too much from this climate change phenomenon. We have been burning this world in the name of development, but we have not cared much in the past at least 100, 200 years. During that time, during industrialization, we have spoiled our ecosystems. That is why we believe that this climate change is a defining issue of our times. We must address this one properly to contain the global temperature rise within 2 degrees Celsius before the end of this century. That's a must. I may not be able to live until 2100, but there will be many people who will be living in this planet Earth. That's why I'm very much committed to make this world economically, socially, and particularly environmentally sustainable. There is a firm belief, firm commitment of the member states. But the level of feeling, the level of commitment differs from country to country, from people to people. That's why I'm convening a climate change summit meeting next month, on September 23rd, I have asked all the leaders of the world to come with their very ambitious and bold targets. We must have a very ambitious and bold target. Otherwise, this is not an issue of which can be addressed business as usual. One may think that, well, my country is very green and we don't have much problem. But this world is so connected. Just one small planet Earth. What is happening here will affect the Central African Republic or elsewhere until at the end of this world. Therefore, we must be united. We must have a solid and determined will to overcome this one. Now, each and everyone can play a role. Each household can play a role. It's not only government leaders. By changing your daily living attitude, I think we can change. Use your electricity energy sparingly. Use your water sparingly. These are all the resources which we need most. But a lot of people, billions of people, are lacking electricity and water and sanitation because of the impact of climate change. Therefore, climate change is a most important one which can solve all the problems which we have. And therefore, I'm asking you again, when you go back to your school, when you go back to your home, raise your voices. Just challenge your senators and congressmen and your ministers and presidents. Look, this is my world. I'm going to live in this world. You may go. Of course, you know, I will go. You may go soon, but I have to leave. My sons and daughters, my grandchildren must leave. Then leave this planet Earth in a sustainable way. That's your responsibility. I think you have a right to do, though. Right to do say. Yeah, thank you very much.
Power of the individual. Turner, I know you have another question from out in the audience.
Yes, I do. Just before that, I just want to check in. MDGs?
Momentum.
MDGs?
Momentum.
Awesome. We have a question here from Victoria.
Hello, my name is Victoria Pinnell, and I'm from Democracy Prep Charter High School. And I would like to know, what can we do to invest in young people, especially girls and young women, to ensure that their rights are protected?
Thank you.
Is it for me? Sure. Thank you so much for your question. I'm really sorry I could not, like, understood it. So can you repeat that, please?
What can we do to invest in young people, girls, and especially young women, to ensure that their rights are protected?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Maybe I should answer.
Sure.
Okay, please, sure. After.
Okay, sorry. The education of girls is very important. And I think when we talk about women's rights, about girls' rights and their protection and equality and justice, I think education is the important thing that can lead to the equality of women and the respect that we all want women to have in society. So I think education should be there for girls. And we see that there are so many girls in many countries who are deprived of education. And the reasons are many. Because the family might be poor and they want to, they cannot afford to send their daughter to school. Or they might be worried about the cultural norms and taboos in which they think that a girl's job is only to get married and to have children. And a girl is not allowed to go to school or to learn or to get education. So I think we have to fight so many difficulties in our life to fight for girls' rights. We have to change this concept that girls is weaker than any boy, or girls are weaker than any men. We have to change this concept, because our weakness and our power is not based on our bodies, but it's based on our skills and on our mind. And you cannot say that if a girl's muscles are not as much as the men's one, you cannot say that this girl is weak, because this is not the real strength. And I believe that women have this courage and they have this strength, because in their lives they suffer through so many difficulties. If you go and you ask a woman who is living in the far-flung hilly areas of Pakistan, and if you ask her what troubles has she been facing in her life, you would be totally surprised. That woman, she has to cook all the day, she has to take care of her children, she suffers through violence as well. And she thinks that this is what she deserves. She thinks that she's weaker because she has never been told that she has equal rights. So I think this is education that can let women know, that can let girls know that, yes, they are as equal as boys are, and they are human beings. They are human beings. This is what they really need to know. And I think this can be done through education, when education is made the top priority. But then it depends on what kind of education they are getting. Is this a kind of education in which they are not told about equality? Because in education, it is now very important that we tell some basic things to children right from the early age. So the children should know about equality, about justice, about equal human rights. They should know that there should be equal rights for women as well. So we can change that concept. I know for now, for this generation, it would be quite difficult. But for the next generation, you can change it. You can change these concepts and these views. So I think it can be done through education, and that's why we are asking the countries, the world leaders, to make education their top priority and make sure that every child gets quality education. And Mr. Secretary General, would you like to say?
Yes.
Would you like to?
I fully agree with what Malala said. How to invest, where to invest. I think we have to invest in human beings. That is education. Then when it comes to invest, I think her generation still has to reach a certain stage. I think our adult generation has responsibility to wisely invest in something. We have many resources and many places where we need to invest. Education is clearly one of the most important issues. We often say that there are some cross-cutting issues. Education is the foundation of all of our efforts and in addressing challenges. Energy will be one of the cross-cutting issues. Water, this is energy. Water, energy, sanitation. These are cross-cutting issues, which is absolutely necessary. These are some areas, resources which we need to invest. By investing in human, when it comes to investing in human, like you invest in women, invest in girls. We have, in this world, we have many resources. But among human resources, most unutilized resources is women's power, women's potential. Just the more than half of our global population are women. Then it is only natural that, if not more, at least the equal opportunity should be given to women and girls, particularly young girls. They are the hopes. When we invest wisely in gender empowerment, we will have, first of all, at least 50% more productivity. But one can expect even 100%, double. Women has better and more potential than men. That's my firm belief. Then, you know my answer, where to invest, how to invest wisely. Invest in women, girls, invest in education. That's my answer.
I like that answer. Turner, I know you have another question.
We have a final question from the audience from this end.
Hello, everyone. My name is Wu Manzhi. I'm from China. I have a question for Secretary General. So over the next 500 days, where do you think we need to make the most progress towards all goals? Thank you.
Vera, as I said, this is again repetition. As I said many times, repeated it today and in the past, we have to cultivate the potential of young people, girls and boys, and that is our moral and political responsibility. I saw so many Chinese young people. I was very, very much appreciated and deeply impressed by their will to contribute. There are big countries and small countries, but now we are talking about there is no difference between big and small, then my message to you through this meeting is that for young people, wherever you may be living, just remember that you are one of the global citizens, this world's citizens. You may bring some Pakistani passport or some Chinese passport, but this, at this time, does not mean much. Does not mean much. You are part of this world. This world will be smaller and smaller every day, becoming smaller and smaller. What I say, what you say here, will be transmitted just within a blink of eye blink, just to the end of this world. Then it goes even to space. Yeah? So therefore, we have to have vision, widen your vision. And deepen and widen your vision as a global citizen. That's my message. You no longer stick to this national identity. There is no national boundaries at this time. This is only legal matter. But politically or in human beings, we are one citizen of this world. That is what United Nations is promoting and aiming to make a global peace, global development, and global harmony, where everybody can live with human dignity, and everybody can live with the passion and compassion for others. I think that is a very good message which I'm telling you. You have a passion. Everybody, there is nobody who doesn't have passion. But there are not many people who have a compassion for others. Look at other places where how other people are doing. So have a strong passion, but at the same time, be a compassionate leader. Be a vision, have a vision, world vision. Thank you very much.
I believe there were some very quotable tweets in what we just heard from the Secretary General. And to that, I want to say right now, hashtag SGMalalaChat is #4 trending hashtag in New York. So let's make it the #1. trending hashtag in New York. There's been plenty to choose from in terms of what you got to take away from so many of the incredible, inspirational answers to your questions that we've had here today. And we have one last question, and it comes from Ana Cristina Oliveira from Brazil via LinkedIn. And Ana asks, what would you say one person could do in their daily life to make a real difference? And I'd like each of you to answer. So Malala, why don't you begin?
Well, I think we can all do a lot of things. When I was in SWAT, I was hoping that someone else will come and raise their voice for us, but I totally then one day decided that it cannot be happen until I raise my voice. So we should believe in the power of our voice, and we should believe that, yes, it can really bring a change. And the clear example is of my country, Swat Valley. There was terrorism. We were not allowed to go to school. More than 400 schools were destroyed. But then through raising voice, we brought that change. We spoke to media channels. We spoke to different newspapers. We highlighted what was happening, and it really brought change. So it is my message to you as well that you raise and highlight the issues that you are facing and you are suffering. And other than that, as we talked about Global Partnership for Education and for Global Citizen, and I have joined them in their campaign to ask the Canadian government to announce $200 million to contribute to education, as we want all the developed and the developing countries to announce that how much they would contribute to the field of education. And I'm hopeful that it will happen. So these are the things which we can do, and these are the initiatives, and these are the this is the advocacy that we can do together. And other than that, my message to you is that you should always believe in yourselves, because we all are the same. I know some of us get a bit famous, but it does not mean that we are special or we are better than you. Just our name is more famous on Twitter or Facebook. It does not mean that we are someone sent from the sky. We are just like you. I fight with my brothers. I sometimes play on iPad, play some games. So I think we are all the same, and we should believe in ourselves, and we should find what talents and what skills do we have. And we can do it through education. So give importance to your education and believe in yourselves. And especially, it's my message to children who are in the developing countries, who sometimes consider themselves that they are not as special as those children who are in the developed countries and in America or in UK. I think we should just say no to this concept, because we all are the same. And when talents come, they do not find out, like, is this child from a developed country or from the developing country? We all have talents, and we all are special. So just continue your hard work, continue your campaigns, and you are going to be the leaders of this world. You are going to be the future of this world. And if you want to see our future bright, and if you want to see development in our future, and if you don't want to see so many troubles already put for us, then we should try and start work right now. Thank you.
Thank you again, Malala, for what you are doing and what you said. I fully agree with you again. When you believe that we are part of global society, I think we cannot but be responsible for our future, common future. Each and everyone can make a big difference. Please don't think that, oh, I'm just a fifth grader, I'm just a middle school student. But still, you are very important actor. You are very important actor. She said, we are just one of them. I'm just one of you. You may think that I'm sitting in a very high office as a Secretary General. You may think that your president, prime ministers, they are very high. We have many ambassadors here. Ambassador Khan is here. But they are just one of you, and I'm just one of you. The impact which I can make may be a little bigger, but you, each and everyone, has impact. If you save just one single drop of water, drinking water, if you think about just turning off light when it's not used, then just think that this will affect too many people. There are still 1.2 billion people who do not have access to drinking water, safe drinking water. There are still 1.4 billion people who do not have this benefit of electricity. That's what the United Nations, that's why United Nations is really trying to abolish. But if you do not cooperate, if you do not act responsibly as a global citizen, we cannot do it alone. Nobody can do it alone. United Nations cannot do it alone. Just to think about the most powerful, most resourceful country. Which country is most powerful and resourceful? You may think easily United States or China or all other European countries. But they cannot do it alone. It should be done collectively. We should unite. We should have strong solidarity for our world and our people, your neighbor, your neighbor. This is my message to young people. Be responsible. Be proud of yourself. Be proud of yourself. At the same time, be responsible as a global citizen. Then we can change this world. Thank you.
I cannot think of a better way to end this discussion, but please don't let the momentum stop. We have the next 500 days and beyond to keep this going. Thank you so much, Secretary General. Thank you so much, Malala. How inspiring are they? I hope you can go out and take their incredible energy and apply it to your own lives, each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, too. Thank you. Same to you.